Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Welcome to Lost in the Static, everybody.
Welcome, hang on, people. Hang on. I have no idea why I'm doing this like a bad 50s TV host. Don't ask me. It's not even part of the topic. I'm not sagging or anything.
I don't know.
Do the Adam and Eve promo. I did it
last
week.
The Adam and Eve promo. It's real simple. If you go to adamandeve.com here in the U.S. and you use the promo code STATIC, S-T-A-T-I-C, then you get 50% off of one item, three free DVDs, a special mystery gift that is really mysterious, and what am I forgetting? Free shipping in the U.S.
Free U.S. shipping.
There we go.
Three free DVDs is what you forget.
I said three free DVDs.
I didn't hear that part. Okay. Maybe that was when I was making my ooh.
But you get some really cool stuff, and we also get a little cut of it, so you help us out a little bit.
And then if you're going to go to Amazon.com, if you're going to be shopping at Amazon anyway, go to 1201beyond.com, turn your ad blocker off. There's some links there you can go through, and there's some suggestions from us of stuff you might enjoy, some stuff we enjoy. Although in one of those, Scott was a dick and put a Joss Whedon thing on my list because he was just being a prick. So no, I don't enjoy that one. But
and I'm going to do one more thing. I'm going to do a favor for our friends over at Geek Juice Media.
Sure.
If you are a Steam user and you trade games through Steam and stuff like that, which is I've kind of gotten into it and I really love it.
What did you say to me before the show? If I had the money, I'd buy everything on Steam something.
If I had money, I'd be spending a good chunk of it on Steam just because there are some great games there, and they make even great classic games that they make sure work with your system.
You were almost drooling
like
over that Duke Nukem 3D.
Well, they're offering it for like $4.
Yeah, I'm like, but I mean, seriously, you were almost drooling.
But yeah, but if you go to geekjuicemedia.com and go through their Steam links, then our friends at Geek Juice helps out a little bit. And there you go. It's just like our Amazon deal.
Yep.
So speaking of games and Steam and stuff like that, one of the most, I don't know about you, but one of the most requested topics I see going across
everybody
the Facebook
sends
page
me things,
and stuff.
Yeah. Video games. We love hearing you guys talk video games. You guys know your video games. Video games.
We have a treat for you. Actually, a few treats for you, because not only is this one we're going to be talking about video games, but for the next two or three episodes, at least.
It's a series.
We're going to be talking all about games.
But right now, you had a bitch you wanted to get to about something that happened to you with games recently, but I'd like yours segs more into the real topic, so let me get mine out of the way first.
Go right ahead.
So I've never had this happen before, but after Googling it, I found out it's not as uncommon as most people would think. I'm playing Halo Wars on my Xbox 360, and I'm just in the middle of playing, and I hear this, "Nyarg!" And I'm like, the fuck? And the whole screen freezes. And I'm like, the hell? I eject the disc. There's this giant groove carved into the disc. And then I try to put it back in, and it won't read it. And it says, mixed media type. Cannot read. And I'm like, son of a... And then this thing is deep. This is not buff outable groove. And I'm like, what the fuck? Apparently, every now and then, a 360 just does that. It'll just... The tray will fuck up. And it'll carve a giant groove into your disc and make it useless. Yep. And Microsoft being money-hungry sons of bitches, no, that's not covered by your warranty.
Nope.
That's even though it was our hardware that wrecked your game, we're not replacing it.
Nah.
And you can't take it back to GameStop or anything.
Nope.
So, Halo Wars is dead.
Yep.
Have you ever encountered that one?
I have, but... Mine was a very different case. You store your 360 horizontally.
Yes, because I was told that that's the way you should.
And that's how I started out storing mine. And we had one disc do exactly what yours did. It made the big chewy noise, and it chewed up one of my games. I forget which one it was, but because I obviously don't play it anymore. I got rid of it. When I talked to Microsoft tech support on the phone, because I still do that every now and then, they basically went, "You're laying yours down horizontally, right?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Put it up vertically and it'll never happen again." And they're right. I put it vertically and it's never happened again. And the one time that I've seen it happen most common is there were a bunch of videos on YouTube of when the 360 launched, people would move it horizontally, vertically while playing the game.
Well, I can see. Well, that would do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're actively moving the tray and the directionality of the laser.
And the center of gravity, et cetera,
yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah, that but I can see, because that sounds just dumb to have done.
Not to mention the fact that when something is spinning, it wants to stay on the axis on which it's spinning. And when you go vertical, you're changing that axis. It's just like trying to tip over a bicycle while they're moving. It's not as easy to do as you think. But yeah, so I saw videos like that and they're like, you were ruining games by doing this. And it's like, duh. But
yeah, that one's duh. Mine, I was just playing. Yeah, yours, I wasn't, you were just moving it or anything.
But
it was just like the system said, no, crunch.
I've had enough of this one. But that's what Microsoft told me was, yeah, put it vertical. Leave it vertical. It won't ever happen again. And they're right. It hasn't.
I think they're being dicks for your hardware did this. You should replace the game for me. Your hardware did this. Because remember in the early days of VCRs, if the VCR ate your tape, Sony or whoever would reimburse you for the tape that their hardware ate.
In
now
the early
it's fuck you.
Yeah,
fuck
in,
you.
In the early days, you're right. But and there's some logic behind them, but let's not go there. But
what
the,
happened to you?
What happened to me was, okay, back around 2000, when BioShock, the original BioShock, first came out. I bought it for PC, and I bought it not thinking of the PC that I had then, because the PC that I had then wasn't going to run BioShock very well. And guess what? It didn't.
surprise.
And so I didn't worry. I went, okay, we'll put it in there for the future, along with you're looking on the floor right now at my big book of software.
Oh, you mean the 5 Far Cry discs?
Well, the 5 Far Cry discs. I've got Tiberian Sun in there. I've got Outlaw Golf. I've got a bunch of other stuff. Older games that when I bought them, I knew that my system wouldn't be able to do them
justice
to the best they could be. I knew that. And so now that I have built my own PC and this thing, Microsoft has this neat little thing starting with Windows 7 called the Entertainment Index or the system. It's a way of scoring your PC.
Okay.
And the scores currently run from 0
which sucks,
to the absolute best that's out there right now is 7.9, and that will rise
as technology advances,
but it tops out right now at 7.9. My PC scores a 7.8.
Pretty good.
Woo! And my PC beforehand scored like a 1.3 or something like that. I was curious, but nonetheless, so I finally have built my PC to run the games how I want to run them, with the sliders to the max and everything like that. And so I'm going through and I'm installing some of the old ones just to see
how they look,
how they should look. And I got to the BioShock and I went, oh, crap. This is one I don't have the manual for. And I checked my little text. Generally, when you buy a game and you have that little install code that you have to put in, authorization code or whatever.
Game, so sure.
Grab that right there. Thank you. This is a DVD box right here for a particular program.
Microsoft Flight Simulator X,
which, oh my God, being able to run this with the sliders all the way up and all the stuff, which when this came out, they basically said, don't put the sliders all the way up. There won't be a machine that can run it for another 10 years. Well, it's been about 10 years. So that product key down at the bottom.
Okay.
That is what you have to put in. And otherwise, you have a coaster. BioShock, I lost the manual for. And I thought, okay, it's got to be somewhere. Check the old hard drive. Well, it's been wiped since BioShock was on it, so no more activation key there. And I called up 2K Games, because I do that. because I know people there. And I said, here's the deal. I lost the manual. I no longer have a product key. I bought this disc with my own money. I bought it new. It wasn't even used. And I'm the only one that's used it. And I need an activation key. And they went, go out and buy another copy. And do it quickly because we're taking the servers offline. So even if you buy another copy and put it in and throw in that activation key, if the servers are down or if it's off the servers, off the database, you're not playing it.
See, that's one of the problems that I find with PC games is they stop supporting them after a while. Whereas when the same thing happens with a console game, doesn't matter if you buy a Sega Genesis cart tomorrow. It's going to work in a Sega Genesis. Now, you buy a PC game from the 1993, it's going to go, I don't even know what this is!
Which is another reason why I like Steam. Steam takes care of all of the authentication itself. It holds on to the stuff. And, for instance, funny you mentioned 1993. One of my favorite LucasArts games in the world, The Dig, came out about that time. I think it was 92, 93, somewhere around there. And I have it on CD from, I bought it launch day, and it ran right up until I threw it onto my last laptop.
And see, like, I've got some old PC games I bought, you know, you buy them
through Steam, they enable you to still play.
You know, I buy them just, you know, for collectible, really. You know, you find them for 25 cents at St. Vincent de Paul, and oh, hey, all the discs are there, so why not? You know, stuff like the Blade Runner one. Star Trek, Borg, I got the Phantasmagoria 1 and 2, Callahan's Crosstime Saloon, stuff like that. And I just kind of buy them to collect them, you know, the box on the shelf. I'm terrified of actually trying to put one of them in my computer because I tried that once. This is back in like the early 2000s. I think it was Lords of Magic. And, you know, it was something I bought new, Lords of Magic. And apparently my operating system was a little more advanced than the operating system it was made for. It overwrote some essential computer files with older versions, so it actually killed my computer. So I'm terrified about trying to put these things in to just even see if they play, because I'm like, are you going to fuck my computer up? I don't have to deal with this on an Xbox.
Bring them over because I can... You can play with your system clock and stuff, and I can slow the system down, and I can put them in a little sandbox drive, and we can play, and we'll see.
Because
there are ways around it, but yeah, and I have a system capable of doing it now. Yay!
Do you still have a 3/4 inch?
No. My laptop, the last one we used to record, was my first system without a 3 1/4 inch.
Because I've got, remember those Elvira role-playing games?
Yeah.
I've got one of those, but I don't have anything to play. I literally have nothing to play the discs with.
You don't have a 3/4 inch drive?
No.
Yeah, well,
so I'm always curious. I bought it, again, to collect. You know, sure. You find this stuff at Goodwill, you can't pass it up. And it's still got all, you know, the little inserts and the magazine that came with it and everything. So I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, you can still find 3/4 inch drives that'll hook in via USB. And I'll... Maybe I'll get one for the hell of it anyway, because why not?
You never know, right?
You never know, and I'm sure I could find a USB zip drive out there, too, just to
You should
have
install
one.
Windows 8.1 on it just for fun.
Yeah, I brought this to you before the show, but Windows 8.1, this is hilarious. Microsoft will send you a copy of Windows 8.1 on 3.5 inch floppy.
3,171 of them.
Yes, 3,100, somewhere around there. I think that may be the exact one, but 3,171 3.5 inch floppies, and you get Windows 8.1. And I checked, it's available OEM, which means it's straight from Microsoft. And I find that hilarious.
And the question I asked you, which we don't have to go into, was why?
Why?
Why would, not only why would you want this, why would they make it? Why would they offer it, you know?
And I almost want to order it now just because I want to have a big-ass box of 3.5-inch floppies just to go, I have this.
I'm curious just how many, let's just round to 3,000, how much physical space 3,000 floppies would take up.
It is a box that is about 3 foot cubed.
You know, because I'm just curious if, like, you could stack them to the ceiling if you stacked them one, you know, one on top of the other.
You know, or, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't. You might be able to get a couple of those because
I have a sick curiosity for this, Scott. Now,
I don't know. I'll do calculations. We'll have it in the future. But what we will, what we want to talk about now is
15 minutes in.
15 minutes in, of course, because we have to get the rambling out of the way. What we want to talk about now is this. We've just had a generational switchover.
See, I disagree with you on that. I think the PS3 360 going to the PS4 Xbox One, I consider that the same generation.
Nope.
And see, no, it's just where we disagree. Because in all honesty, my son's got a PS3, he's got a PS4. There's hardly any difference in reality.
That's common of modern generations, period. I mean, it's... You can only improve so much. And so really, as we get later and later in our gaming generation, until somebody goes, here's a holodeck.
And see, that'll disagree with too. Because like when you go from PlayStation to PlayStation 2, that was a monster leap.
Right.
Whereas from PS3 to PS4, it's a
That's what I'm saying. As we get later and later in generations, it's only going to improve marginally, and it's going, you know, as they become more and more powerful, it's going to more and more marginally improve until somebody makes the next big breakthrough, whatever that is. Like, for example, the holodeck, you know, that's your next big evolution. But each generation is going to evolve only a little bit more as we get more and more powerful.
Do you think what do you think about the leap, even though it's technically different formats, from like the Sega Genesis to the Sega CD? Because it was a graphical leap, because there was no way, even with the bad full motion video that the Sega CD was able to play, that a cartridge could have handled that.
Well, your cartridge doesn't have enough storage space, right. Et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Do you think that was a big leap, even though the Sega CD...
tanked?
Well... it didn't work to its full capacity.
Tanked.
Because, okay, have you ever taken a Sega CD game, just one of the discs, and looked at the back? They're using maybe 25 to 30% of the storage capacity of that disc.
Right.
To the point where you are not really maximizing what you can do with this.
Because the system wasn't built to do it. The Sega CD, and especially the Sega CD add-on for the Genesis, those are bridge systems. That was a bridge between a cartridge-based generation and a CD-based generation. Thank you, Sony. And so there was only so much that the Genesis could do. So, you could... It's like taking my 2-terabyte hard drive. We could take that 2-terabyte hard drive and we could put it into one of your machines
that's running at your Windows house XP.
That's running Windows XP or even one of your earlier machines. We could partition it and throw it into a Windows 98 or
I still have Windows, a 98 disk run somewhere.
Yeah, you could throw it into a Windows 98 machine, or you could throw it into a Windows 2000 machine, partitioned all to hell so it would look like a bunch of different drives. And it would have all the storage capacity in the world. You still couldn't make that machine run Far Cry or Microsoft Flight Simulator with the graphics to the maximum, because the machine can only do so much. And that's when you're talking about Sega CD, its limitation wasn't storage. It was performance of the Genesis that it was hooked up to.
Well, and... That'll go 50-50 on, because some games maximized what they could do. I mean, you look at the Terminator game. It's 16-bit graphics with CD sound, incredibly smooth gameplay. I mean, smooth scrolling that you could not get on a cartridge. It was really pushing the boundaries of what the Sega CD could do. Or even, remember the Amazing Spider-Man game for the Genesis?
Nope.
All right, well, it was, you know, typical side-scroller, 16-bit sprites and everything, blah, blah, it was fine. Okay. Well, they upgraded that on the Sega CD with better music, extra levels, and the ability, because of CD, with the laser being able to jump around where a cartridge cannot, you could do the levels in any order you wanted.
A non-linear
right.
gameplay.
Which was kind of a neat thing for 1992.
Sure.
You know, that you know, they were going, we've got this new format. Let's try some new shit with it. And then most games were just, fuck, just port it.
When it comes to the music, I mean, that's an obvious and a very easy upgrade because CDs had been around for a long time. And the music that they're playing on the Sega CDs and the upgraded music, that's all regular CD
right.
music tracks. And it's shouted at your podcast players and your radios.
Well, the biggest one in that was Mortal Kombat. Because remember that the Sega and the Super, you know, you had the limitations of their sound.
Sure.
The first time outside of the arcade anyone heard the Mortal Kombat actual voices and sound effects was the Sega CD. It used because there was an actual CD in the arcade cart. They literally duped that.
Right.
So you were getting the true sound of Mortal Kombat for the first time.
But that's what I'm saying is that was easy. But when it comes to pushing the system graphically, especially let's take your Terminator 2 example and making it smooth and everything like that, that comes down to programming. And I can guarantee you that system in the Terminator game, it was huffing at the end of every level. It had to catch its breath before it moved on.
Loading screens, yeah, Scott. You know, loading.
And that's just the limitations of that system versus like a PlayStation 1 or any of the modern systems that are built around a CD and have huge memory buffers to save the loading screens, et cetera, et cetera.
But then with the PS1, and the PS2 was guilty of this as well, but not as guilty. What about I think loading screens were the worst on the PS1. They had load times to the point where you literally could get up, go to the bathroom, come back and sit down, and you were still loading, loading. Was that the hardware could not keep up with the game, or the game was just programmed in a strange way? Why? Because, I mean, Resident Evil has some of the most loading screens out there.
That has to do with memory buffers, and because it has to take a certain amount of data off of the disk and throw it into RAM, because the actual CD reader in a PS1 is considerably slower than the one I have in my computer, just physically.
The Sega CD was a 1X. What do you know what
I think there PS1 were 4X to later in their life. Yeah, I think there were 4X, something like that.
What was the PS2 then by that point?
PS2
remember?
Would have been, I think it was in the 40s or something, okay. And I've got...
Because PS2s needed to be able to run DVDs too. Yeah.
And mine, in my machine right now, it's 128X.
Okay.
And this thing, it sounds like a freaking tornado when it starts up.
I have one counter to you saying it was the hardware, though. Because the PS2 was backwards compatible, the load screens were just as long on the much, much faster and more powerful PS2.
It's because you were emulating. It's because you were emulating a PS1. And PS1 discs, especially with their black backs and stuff, they were meant to be read at a certain speed, period, end of story.
So the PS2 was incapable of reading it faster than it was designed to be read, is
that's
what
right.
you're saying.
That's right.
That seems to be kind of a design flaw that they went, no, this can only handle X amount. Don't even give it the option to handle double X
amount. That's called evolution of technology. Literally, looking at the back of a disc, grab an early CD and grab a DVD and you just look at the back of the disc and you can tell.
The CD is silver. The DVD generally is gold.
Gold or in some modern cases, bluish.
Yeah, that's why I said generally.
Or if you look at a Blu-ray, it's even more blue.
Well, it's kind of in the title too.
Well, and the reason for that is because the little pits physically, just like on a
LP,
on an LP, the little pits are spaced differently. And on a CD, they're considerably wider apart than on a DVD and stuff like that. And so when it comes to the PS1 discs, again, because of that stupid black back design and stuff.
What's the point of the black back, then, honestly?
Honestly, at the time,
Was it just to kind of set them apart?
It set them apart a little bit, and it was an anti-piracy thing because you couldn't drop them into like a computer CD. Well,
you could pop them into a theory, CD player. No,
stop.
Okay.
You couldn't drop them into a CD-ROM on a computer and emulate. We found ways around that. But
everyone did.
Yeah, but at first you couldn't just go out and say, I don't really want to buy a PS2 or a PS1 and just drop it in.
Because CD players, a lot of them would throw on the music tracks. Like sometimes the soundtrack would be there. Hey, take the game, put it in your CD player. You can listen to just the music.
And that's because the Redbook audio format. That's what I was looking for earlier. Redbook.
That's the word you couldn't think
exactly.
of?
Exactly. Redbook audio is it's a standard CD audio, or it was until the mid-2000s or maybe a little bit sooner than that. Okay. But nonetheless.
All right. Well.
So what? Let's move away from this, because this, as fascinating as this is, this isn't what I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about the current, or the just previous generation of consoles, what we liked, what we didn't like. So I'm talking specifically the Xbox 360, the Wii, and the PS2.
Do you consider PS3, the Wii U sorry, part of PS3. That, or is Wii U like with the PS4?
Wii U, we're going to call...
It's also useless, too. Wii U is stupid.
We'll see. We'll talk about that later, but I'm going to consider that... I'm going to consider the Wii the part of the Xbox 360 generation and the Wii U part of the Xbox One generation. Okay. And I'm using Xbox because it's something we can both relate to.
Yeah, so. I don't have a PS3. My son does, so... I'm familiar with them, but I've never played a game on a PS3. Why is that funny?
It's just because we're both kind of in the same deal there. I never had a PS3, but I've got enough friends that have that.
I'm familiar enough
with the system. And I gotta tell you, I think. Going from the Xbox to the Xbox 360, I think the Xbox 360 controller is one of the best design controllers.
No doubt. The original Xbox was a little fatter.
It was so huge.
I mean, we're not talking Jaguar fucking clunky.
Right. It's not quite Jaguar clunky, but it's about the same size.
We'll talk about that in a few weeks.
Yeah, and it was just insanely...
No, the Xbox 360 is a very comfortable controller. Like one of the problems with the original Nintendo controller, as I've gone back and played, maybe I just forgot this as a kid, those sharp corners stick in your fucking palms.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's comfortable, but after a while, it becomes uncomfortable. The PS2, PS1 controller was the same way. It your fingers almost start crampy a little bit, whereas the Xbox 360 controller, it is actually pretty well designed. You know, your fingers hitting the trigger buttons, that... It all is pretty intuitive, honestly.
I think one of the things that I love, and I always thought it was funny because looking at like a PS2 controller, which I had for a long, long time, and then you look at an Xbox 360 controller and they've moved to those thumbsticks.
Yeah.
And I kind of looked at it and went, that one looks a little weird. How are they going to... They're asymmetrical.
Except it fits.
But then, yeah.
Your thumbs seem to find them easier.
Yes. And I really like that. And... Sony, as much as I love your controllers, and you've got decent controllers, move those thumbsticks. Just move them.
Being parallel, it doesn't feel intuitive.
Yeah, it doesn't feel bad, but hands.
But it's less intuitive than the 360.
My hands tend to cramp when I'm playing PS2 or PS3 more quickly than they do for Xbox 360.
Yeah. No. See, to me, I never had an Xbox. Okay, so we you know, because money is always an issue. So we went PS2. So I never had an Xbox, and the 360. Honestly, I only got because a friend of mine, it red ringed on him, and he you know got it fixed through Microsoft, and he decided he was so frustrated with that he was done with Microsoft. So he's been a Sony guy ever since. So he gave it to me along with three games. Otherwise, I would have never probably bought one on my own.
Okay.
Boughten?
Yeah, I was wondering where that came from, but
bought.
That was that
Boughten. I just made up a new word, so shut up.
No, that was very Wisconsin. I hear that Boughten? All the time from people of lower classes and less education than we have.
That was a shot. Boughten. I don't know where the fuck.
Just like I'm going to borrow this to you for a while. No, you're going to lend it.
You're going to borrow it from me.
Yes. So anyway, but yeah, when it comes to controllers, I think the Xbox 360 wins hands down.
I think maybe it's just something I haven't heard about as much. Okay. But I just recently brought up the Red Ring of Death.
Yes.
To my knowledge, the PS3, we won't talk about the PS4, which does have Red Ring of Death, but it's blue. Did the PS3 have a Red Ring of Death? Because I didn't hear about, I heard Red Ring of Death on the 360 constantly. I didn't hear Sony guys bitching about, my computer bricked all that often.
It did. It did have a blue, it had the blue eye
of death. The blue light of death.
Yes, the blue light of death. But it wasn't nearly as common. Look, when you launch a new console, period, end of story, you are going to have hardware troubles and software troubles. And we're seeing that with this current generational switchover.
But, oh, you want to save your game? Nah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But we saw it with the Xbox 360 and the PS3 when they came out. Especially with the 360, the Red Ring of Death is ubiquitous. It's everywhere.
Honestly, I'd be hard pressed to find someone who's owned a 360 in, you know, in its prime era that did not Red Ring at some point.
I had a Red Ring.
Fucking luck. It red ringed on me 2 days before the warranty ran out. So if it had waited 3 more days, I would not have been able to get the free replacement.
My first 360 red ringed on me 2 weeks before the warranty ran out. And then my second 360 red ringed on me 3 days after I got it from Microsoft.
Way to go, Microsoft.
I hadn't even transferred any of my purchases or anything, and I'm glad I didn't, because you can only do that once a year. But and then I called Microsoft and I went, yeah, this, and they went, is there a problem with the new system? I said, yeah, it just red ringed on me. And
again.
Yeah. And they go, okay, we'll send you a coffin and you can send it in, we'll send you another one. And so I'm on my third, and this one upstairs is still chugging along. But
mine is still chugging along. But honestly, after the Halo Wars crunch, I'm starting to get a little paranoid. I mean, most people say that happens. It's literally just a glitch. It's not going to happen again anytime soon.
Right.
But you know me, I'm paranoid. It happened once. What if when I put Saints Row 4 in, it's going to crunch that now too, you know?
Well, like, how long have you had that system?
Since the red, you know, this is the one that was replaced with the red ring. 2.5-3 years, maybe.
Right, 2.5-3 years, lots and lots of hours of gameplay. You had one crunch.
I know, but I'm paranoid. I had one. That means I could have two.
Yeah, and I've had none. That means, well, actually, I've had one.
But
that
it was means a different I could have one, two. Yeah.
But, you know, the.
And I will admit, when I got my red ring, I was playing Aliens vs. Predator, the 2010 game.
Yep.
And it was near the end of the Marine campaign. So even when I'm replaying it today, every time I rescue Tequila, I start to get a little paranoid because that's where it red ringed on me before. So something in my brain associates frying my system with rescuing Tequila.
I sold my I sold my Ghostbusters game.
I liked that game.
Because that's the one that red ringed on me, and I was just like, I can't play it.
It's possessed. It's possessed.
I can't do
it. How far were you into that?
Not far at all.
Oh, then you missed all the good stuff.
Yeah,
all the good shit comes later.
But nonetheless, so we had the Xbox 360 with its infamous Red Ring of Death.
We do have to mention, though, do you remember how they, and I'm putting the word in quotes, fixed the Red Ring of Death?
No.
On later 360s?
No.
They didn't fix the error. It just won't red ring anymore.
That's right. I remember that now.
Yeah, you remember that? Yeah. That it was. No, we didn't fix why the hardware fries. We just fixed the thing so it no longer red rings of death. And at first you're like, all right, they fit. Oh, you dirty fucking sons of bitches. We just had to mention that.
But So we had that one. And I think the PS3 had a few technical glitches and stuff like that, but it wasn't nearly as bad when it comes to the launch.
I know one of the big complaints my son had, this is just a, this is just a stupid little thing.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's more of a horizontal system.
Right.
You turn it on, you kind of run your finger over that one button.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he has a dog. So the dog was constantly accidentally either turning his system on or off, just like the tail would go across that.
Oh, yeah.
And if it would either turn it on or off. So it was like, that seemed a little, you didn't think the start button through very well, did you? So at least with the 360, you have to press in. It's not as easy to accidentally turn your 360 on as it is to accidentally turn on your PS3.
Right. However, when my cats decide to step on the controllers and hit the little X button.
If they hit the X in the middle. But you gotta hold that for a second or two. So they have
These
to
are
be,
my cats. They'll sit on them.
Yeah, this, I was going to say, they have to be pressing on that to make that happen.
But yeah, so we had that one with the Xbox. See, the one difference that I had in this current generation and this next generation that where I think Sony wins is online.
Well, you mean free versus constantly pay us, pay us, pay us?
Free with a pay option with enough extras, I think that if I get a PS4, it might make PlayStation Plus worth it. The Xbox 360, I stopped paying for Xbox Live because it wasn't worth it to me. I don't,
I've never paid really for it. I've done it a couple of times. Every now and then when you get a game, sometimes it's like, 1 week free with this code. I've done that a few times. And I did pay for it for a while, but my wife used like some Coke points or something to get it for like $1 a month for 3 months. So I'm like, all right, that I'll fucking, that's $3. Fine.
But I already pay for Netflix. I pay for the service. And then to have to pay originally 50 and now 60, soon to be $65 to use a system I already pay for. No. And then on top of paying, and I thought maybe paying for Xbox Live would cut down on the ads on my home screen and stuff. No, not at all. Not one bit. Nope. And Sony doesn't do that.
But one of their selling points, which I think is a stupid selling point, is, but see, like when you get Xbox Gold and whatnot, you also have access YouTube and other streaming services that you don't get unless that are free on a computer.
Yeah.
But you can look at YouTube videos.
But see, again, that's dumb because I have an iPad that can do that, an iPod that can do that. My computer can do that. My laptop can do that.
I don't need to watch YouTube videos on my 360. Yeah. Thank you.
And I have Blu-ray disc players on both my bedroom TV, my wife's office TV, and upstairs on the main TV. All three of those Blu-rays can access Netflix and YouTube and Blip and all that stuff.
Well, and there was a recent controversy that just came out about the Xbox Gold as well. There's some big multiplayer game that, it's some new game that you have to play online. It's not a single player game at all. It's kind of like a World of Warcraft knockoff. Well, you buy the disc for $60, and because it's online, you have to have Xbox Gold, or you can't play the game anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like the gameplay after you bought it is free on PS4. You have to pay again on Xbox. That's just fucking retarded.
And you'll notice that we haven't really mentioned the Wii. The Wii's online. Nintendo.
The only thing I ever see anyone using the Wii Online for is the virtual arcade,
the
or
virtual console.
I never see any. I mean, I know the new Mario games have multiplayer and all that. How often do you ever see anyone doing that?
The reason being is because Nintendo is stuck with when they launched the Wii and did all of their online stuff. They launched friend codes. So in other words, for you and I to play together, we have to know each other's friend code. We have to go add that to our list, et cetera, and it's not a small number.
That seems pointlessly convoluted.
Yeah, I can't go, I feel like playing.
And let's just see whoever's in the lobby, we'll play with them.
Yeah, Doesn't work. There are no lobbies. The voice communication, if it existed at all, was terrible.
I think, and I'm just spitballing here, I think their logic behind that might have been because, like, when you're playing Halo, you're getting called a nigger and a faggot by some 13-year-old in Thailand that you don't know. This way, you're only playing with people you know, so you're not encountering these lowlives that are on there.
And yeah, like I said, that was another thing that actually made me stop paying for Xbox Live, was because every time I did the online chat, I spent the whole time finding out who slept with my mother. And
to me, it was when playing online games, whether it was Halo or Aliens vs. Predator, just fucking spawn campers. Yeah. As soon as you spawn, shotgun to the face, and then they just laugh at you, and you go, "Wow, this is worth $20 a month, right?"
Yeah, exactly. But you've got that, but when it comes to the Wii's online, their online console and their retro games and stuff like that. Beautifully handled.
I've heard that those are really, really good.
They were beautifully handled. I loved how they came across. And yeah, the emulation of the old systems and stuff, thumbs up. When it comes to playing games online, it doesn't exist. And this is one thing that the Wii did to solidify it's a kid's console. It's a little kid's console. And
that's because that's the bulk of their games.
Yeah, well, that's...
Yeah, they'll occasionally take a Resident Evil or a Metal Gear or something, but they really have sold themselves even more than our generation did to this newer generation as this is the fun console, whereas yes. The Xbox and the PlayStation, that's the console for the true gamers,
yeah,
Scott.
I hate that phrase true gamer, because if you
could hear the sarcasm when I said it too.
But nonetheless, so Wii solidified itself as a kid's console. I enjoyed it when we had one.
I've never had one.
We did the Wii Sports thing with the bowling, and that was fun
for about a half hour.
No, actually, we played that quite often.
Really?
It really is a fun little family console. The problem is...
You just used the right word. Family. Yes.
The problem is... Don and I are gamers.
You don't have kids either.
We don't have kids. Although when we lived at our old place, we were kind of the kid center. They would come over to hang out with us. I don't know. Kids love me. I don't know why. But nonetheless, you know, we and
because you look like Mr. Clean.
Maybe. I don't know.
Sorry,
but the Wii solidified itself as a kid's console, and Nintendo has had this problem for a while. Nintendo has had this problem of third-party developers. I mean, you talk about PlayStation, you talk about Xbox, you're looking at BioWare and 2K and EA and Gearbox and Microsoft and Sony. You look at Nintendo and you go, well, there's some... other little ones, and I guess
there's Capcom and maybe Taito,
but
most of the games are Nintendo.
Yeah, the good
games
for it come from Nintendo, and it's one of the places where Iwata failed. But that's one of the reasons why I think that the Wii failed. And the good points was it really was a fun console. I did enjoy playing it. It was not as responsive as it claimed to be. But it was fun.
Well, and I think that's something else that's changed within even the current generation from, you know, PS3 to PS4 and whatnot, is that not wanting traditional games. Look at, like, the Xbox One. The Kinect comes with it. You don't get a choice to not have it.
Right.
And then you actually have to pay extra to have it turned off. Again,
yeah.
Microsoft not thinking that shit through. No. We're not even going to get into the DRM or
anything.
I was going to
say,
right,
we're going to talk about the Microsoft launch screw up when we talk about the next generation of consoles.
You know, that won't be this week. But, I mean, like, the thing with the Kinect basically failed when it was on the 360.
Yep.
No one really wanted it. It didn't work. It wasn't responsive. So now they said, we're sure this will work, Scott. The Kinect is what... the next generation of gaming is. So now we're going to bundle it in, and you have to use it. And people still went, don't care.
Yeah.
Why is it? Because
I don't.
Microsoft is way more into that than Sony is.
Let's save that. I mean, PlayStation, you've got the Move, and you've got the camera and stuff like that. But even PlayStation went, okay, yeah, all right, it didn't go the
too
way
far,
we wanted it to. We're done. We're done. But you know, we'll talk about that with the next generation of gaming. But that was, you know, the Wii came along with its waggle controls and stuff like that, and everybody kind of hopped on it, and that's why Microsoft went, okay, if they're going to take away the actual controller
the traditional controller,
then we'll just take away the controller altogether, and it fails.
I think somebody at Microsoft saw Minority Report one too many times.
I don't know, but you know, when it this generation has had some wonderful, wonderful games that I loved playing. You know, the Mass Effect series was a great series. You can sneer all you want at the ending, but it was a great series. It was a great journey.
To me, that ending hurt my enjoyment of the first three. So,
but you know, then you've also got the BioShock games, which are great. I think
Saints Row 3 and 4 are seriously some of the most fun games I have played in the last 5 years are Saints Row 3 and 4. They are just a pure embodiment of fun in a game.
The Uncharted series on the Sony side.
My son really likes those, but again, I've never played them. So.
Give it. See if he'll let you play.
Because
they're
got,
worth it. They are.
I think he's only got 2 and 3. I don't think he has the first one.
Get the first one if you can. It's an incredible series all along. I would say it's Sony's Mass Effect. It has that much of an effect on you, and it's fun. So there you go. You've got the Uncharted, Sackboy, Little Big Planet. It's another one that I found was just a blast to play. And talk about unique art style. Are you familiar with that one at all?
I think I've seen it, but I've never played it or anything.
Okay. It's I'll show you some stuff, but it was well worth playing. I think that when it came to games themselves, we had some real highlights. I think that the system failures at the beginning of the generation, they kind of went by the wayside. And where people start messing up is, and I hate to say it, but it's mainly Nintendo and Microsoft that really messed up this generation and that really started to mess up toward the end of the 360 generation.
With Nintendo, they're actually screwed up to the point where it's a rumor, but it's a rumor coming from them, and it's a rumor that they're not debunking, that they're not going to make another system, that they're going to become specifically a third-party game developer for Microsoft and Sony, that basically we're bowing out. It's a two-ball game now.
That may be that's one direction that they're
because
considering.
Because the Wii U tanked so hard that Nintendo was like, yeah, just if we make games for those two, we can make more money.
And what they will do is then start concentrating on their handheld, because the handheld market, I think Nintendo wins hands down. I think they have some of the best systems out there.
Oh fuck yeah! The Sony, what was
the
it?
The PSP?
That was a train wreck.
And it wasn't really a train wreck. It was successful, but then we started getting into the new generations of the PSP and losing the little UMD discs and stuff like that. That
everyone has always lost a handheld war to Nintendo.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Game Boy versus Game Gear. Game Gear, technically superior, better graphics, better sound, longer battery life, could not find a goddamn inroad in sales.
Didn't have the games.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And DS is the same way. And when it comes to the Game Boy, you know, the 3DS and stuff like that, especially, I'm saving up. I want to get a 3DS XL. Because when I play Nintendo, when I think Nintendo and where they really excel with games is in the handheld market. And I honestly hope that they give up on the console, the home console.
So you want to see Mario and Sonic on a PS or a Microsoft system?
It wouldn't bother me. I don't know if they will, but I hope that when it comes to their hardware division, they really concentrate on handheld, where they just excel beautifully. And that's what I would do if I were at Nintendo now, because the 3DS it's a money printing machine, and it's the reason why Nintendo hasn't gone out of business.
But also look at the market. The market is not big enough for three competitors anymore. It was in the 90s. It was even in the 2000s. Once we got around to 2010, I think the market became so divided and in a way so bland, because most systems in the modern era, with the, you know, you've got your Uncharted for the PlayStations, your Halos for Microsoft, sure, etc. Most games, a Resident Evil, a Saints Row and whatnot, were on all three systems. And it really just, whatever you had, you still got the same games. Well, it wasn't like it was in the 90s where there was true competition.
From a developer standpoint, and this, that's a change on the third-party developer side. If I'm developing a game, it doesn't, exclusivity doesn't make sense anymore.
And as we'll talk about more in a couple of weeks, it's also illegal on Nintendo's part.
Yeah, and we've also seen the rise of PC gaming coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And it's making a big, huge inroad. And
we're going to have a full episode of that, though.
I think it's making a dent on console sales and stuff. And so, yeah, I can't really fight you, but...
Yeah, I think the market cannot sustain three... I'm just talking consoles right now. Three competitors anymore. Because you have, and I'm being sarcastic again, the true gamer, and you've got the kids. And that's pretty much all it is now. Whereas in the older days, you had casual gamers, you had the true gamer, you had kids, you had people that just wanted to kill an hour. You don't really have that anymore for consoles. One reason would be the iPod.
Yeah,
the
I was going to say,
you've got the time waster games
they've
there.
They've moved to tablets. The casual market has moved to tablets and the iPhone.
So you call
iPhone
them casual,
devices.
I call them time waster.
Well, same thing. You know, they've moved to more the phone and the tablet market, whereas, yeah, they're not. Why should I fire up my console and find it on the TV and switch my stereo over and then play the game versus
boop there it is. Okay, Scott doesn't get to talk the rest of this episode.
But nonetheless,
no, what did I just say?
I don't care. I'm ignoring you as usual.
Huh?
but that's where we sit now. Is you're right. But looking at this last one, I think the highlights. If I could get the third party support that Xbox 360 had, the online system from Sony, and not necessarily Wii Waggle controls and stuff, but that kind of innovative, out-of-the-box thinking that Nintendo did.
Also the virtual library.
And the virtual, the virtual console library of Nintendo. If I could get that into one machine, that would be the ultimate machine, I think, for this just-past generation.
Do you think the market is open? Let's say Nintendo's staying in it for the sake of this argument, okay?
Okay.
Do you think the market would be open for some fourth party to come in with that Phantom system that you just brought up? Do you think that they would be able to take on these three, or do you think the market just could not sustain it?
Nope, I don't think they could.
Even if they put out a superior product.
Even if they put out a superior product. We've seen people try with devices like the Ouya and some of
the that is.
I'll show you. Right. But some of the Google operating system, Android. They're Android-based machines that are trying to become consoles. And good products, interesting libraries, decent enough free, good money saved in an Ouya system. Nobody played them.
It's kind of like, to go back to a retro example, you have Nintendo versus Sega, and... then you had TurboGrafx-16 going, I can play, I have better games. And nobody bought you, did they?
And the reason being is because it's your cash.
Well, yeah.
Period. But that's where we sit. And I think it's going to be really interesting going in the future. I'm looking forward to seeing where they go. But this current generation, we talked about some of the downsides, some of the upsides. I think next week we're going to talk about the console wars. And living through the Nintendo Sega, and then we had two uppity Yankees come in with Sony and Microsoft.
And I want to say in our last few seconds, if anyone has a Halo Wars game that they want to donate, email me at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Okay, play the stinger then.
Bye, everybody. We'll see you next week. Lost in the Static is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.